And working on it. Perhaps next week will be the week we have a message on that. But today, I want to look back at Hebrews at the 12th chapter, and let's read verses 3 through 11 here. And dealing with the subject today of battling against sin. I want to think about that subject today, as it is the part of the Christian life that we are to be engaged in. We're to put on, Ephesians 6 tells us that we're to put on the whole armor of God. And part of that battle that we're engaged in Ephesians chapter 6, is that warfare, a spiritual warfare, that is a warfare against sin in our own lives. And so today, I want to look at that, think about that a little bit. Chapter 12, verse 3, so for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So clearly the context here, or the subject that's being presented here, is about a battle against sin, striving against sin. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Hey, the chastening of the Lord and being rebuked of the Lord, it's about battling sin. And for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom his father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Okay, so here's being partakers of his holiness versus, and of course, him chastening us in order to be partakers of his holiness. In other words, a battle against sin, verse number 11. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, the fruit being that which we are fighting for, that which we are battling for, and that is righteousness, the fruit of righteousness. So when we're fighting against sin, we're battling against sin, we're battling for righteousness in our lives. We're battling for, we're striving for righteousness in our lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we make some comments on these verses and think about this for a little bit as we think about battling sin. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to gather here today, this afternoon. Bless the word, accomplish your purpose through it, and help us, Lord, just refresh us with your word. And bless us, Lord, that we'd have fresh minds as we think upon these things, and just encourage us, Lord, with encouragement to be in the battle. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Battling against sin is not a popular subject. It is not popular to preach against sin that much anymore. But it doesn't matter whether it's popular or not. It's the Word of God, and we seek to bring out what the Word of God teaches. And one of the things that it's teaching here is clearly he's talking about the striving against sin in verse number 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He is saying that, you know what, you can strive against sin a little bit more because you haven't really resisted, you haven't even reached that point where you've resisted unto blood, where that serving the Lord and doing righteousness has cost you your life or cost you harm to yourself. And so he's saying, hey, it's a worthwhile cause. The cause of fighting against sin is a worthwhile cause, that it's worth it even unto death. People have been martyred because of striving against sin or battling sin. And so I want to think from our text, though, of reasons to keep fighting against sin. And I say to keep fighting because the first verse, verse number 3, says that we're to consider the one that endured. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. So he has endured all the putting of sin upon himself and taking the sin upon himself of all these sinners that have come to know the Lord and will come to know the Lord. He's taken their sin for them. He has endured it. He's put himself in their place. And that whole subject of that contradiction of sinners against him is a contradiction in the sense that he didn't deserve it. It isn't something that he was rightly being crucified or was rightly being condemned by man. It's a contradiction of sinners against him. And he says, you think about what he endured, and you think about the fact that for righteousness' sake, for the sake of our righteousness, and the sake of him taking our sins and delivering us from our sins, he endured a great affliction. He endured that great contradiction of sinners against himself. Think about what he did. Think about what Jesus Christ did. It seems that the apostle is saying here, think about what he suffered. Think about what he did for our righteousness. What are we suffering for our own righteousness? In other words, what are we doing in order to see sin gone in from our life? What are we doing in order to battle against the sin in our own lives? And he says, hey, you look to him, look to Jesus as the one who's the main sufferer for sins, and look at him as the one who is the chief advocate for righteousness, and we as the people of God should certainly be striving against sin. Jesus suffered greatly due to our sins. Verse number 3, he suffered greatly, and it was our sins that put him there. And so before God, our sins are clearly condemned. Our sins are clearly something that God is, that is not something that is pleasing to God. Our sins are not something that's beneficial to us. Our sins are just like a good father is going to correct his children. Our sins are like that. We deserve to be corrected. And then verse number 4, our sins' allies could become worse. Verse 4 says here, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. He's saying, hey, you know what? It may be that sin and its allies, all the support group of sin in your life, everything, all the things that try to mount up to bring you to temptation and sin, They're all working greatly. They could get worse. They could get worse in tempting you to sin. They could get worse in bringing you to a position of failure. And he's saying, hey, so it's a matter of battling. You got all these allies that are on sin's side, and you're to be on the Lord's side. And so there's a sense in which that this battle is that battle within us that is against sin, and that is the Lord wanting the Lord's will to be done in our lives. So verse 4 just says, hey, you realize you got allies. I mean, you got enemies, and those enemies are all allied against you. I think about the three main enemies against us: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And how that the world is the world system is going to seek to lure us away from what God would have us to do. And the devil obviously is. The devil is going to tempt. The devil is going to bring things to our mind. He is going to bring things up. The flesh is a willing accomplice. The flesh is really willing within us, is really willing to to sin and desires to sin and to go contrary to the will of God. So we have sin's allies are against us, and we need to be looking at that and thinking about the verse number four. Verse four says that you've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. So there's these allies of sin that are going to bring harm upon you, even when you're doing what is right. And then verses 5 and 6, we read here that our sins are lovingly chastened by the Lord. We're thinking about reasons from our text to keep fighting sin and not to be wearied and faint in our minds as we're battling against sin. Our sins are chastened of the Lord out of love. Verse 5 and 6 says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Realize that the Lord does rebuke us, and he does bring affliction, he brings trials, he brings things upon us in our lives, which sometimes are his chastening hand. And for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He's correcting us. The Lord's correcting us for our sins. The Lord's doing that on a regular basis. He is in that position of, out of love, sometimes stopping things that the flesh wants to have happen. He is preventing things. And it's a wonderful thing. A loving father is going to prevent things from happening to his children. A loving father is sometimes going to guard his children from evil that might come their way. He is going to be ready to protect them. And so it is with the loving Father, our Heavenly Father. He cares about us, and he's protecting us. And so our sins they're lovingly chastened of the Lord, because he knows that they're bad for us. They're not good for us as his people. And so we sometimes look at sin too lightly, and we look at sin as though it's just a part of our life, and that grace is sufficient to cover us all up, and that's good. And we're thankful that our standing is right with God. But thinking about how our standing became right with God, you have to look at the suffering of Christ for sin, for our sins. And we have to understand that guides us down a path of seeking to live a righteous life and to battle against the sin that's in our life. Verses 7 and 8, no chastening of our sin is, if we don't have chastening, then that's not a good sign. Verses 7 and 8 just say, hey, it's not good. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. Because what son doesn't the father chasten? But if you're without chastisement, if you're not being chastened, then the question is, are you really a son? Are you really a child of God is what the question is. And so the chastening of the Lord, clearly there's a battle against sin that we understand, that we see, and that the Lord is working, the Lord's orchestrating in our life, that we would have a hatred for sin and have a love for righteousness. We want to have the righteousness of God worked in our lives. And then verse number 9, again, we're thinking about these reasons of battling against sin. Verse 9, our proper response before the Lord for our sin is reverence. In verse number 9, he says, furthermore, we've had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. So the earthly fathers, we gave them reverence. In other words, we feared them, and we respected them. And he says here, shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? To be subjected to and to yield to and to honor the Father, the Heavenly Father, the Father of spirits, as he says here. And so verse number 9 just says our proper response before the Lord concerning our sin is reverence. We should be reverent. We should reverence him. We should, as the scripture says here, we should be in subjection unto him, wanting his leadership, his desires done in our lives as his people. And then he's the one that's holy. He is holy. He is righteous in everything. And sin is deplorable in his eyes. In verse 10, progress is being made. Verse 10 is encouraging. Verse 10 says, "For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." The Lord is working in our lives, and he is progressively working his will out in our life toward his holiness. He's working that out. We yield to him. We are to yield to his work in our lives. We are to be patient when the trials of chastening come upon our life. We are to be those who know that sometimes the Lord is working his will out and is correcting us in our lives as we go through some things and some trials, very hard trials that we might face. And so we need to be patient about that. There's no difference whether I'm being chastened or whether I'm just being tested as it pertains to the affliction that might come upon me. In either case, what's he want me to do? He wants me to be patient. He wants me to be patient whether I'm being chastened or whether it's just a trial that's coming upon our life. In either case, we're to do the same thing. We are to be patient, yield ourselves to the Lord, and realize that God's working his will out in our life through those things and that he's making progress. You know, as a child of God, sometimes we don't feel the progress. We don't feel how that the Lord is changing our life and how he's making us more useful in his hands. And sometimes we don't think we're doing much. And certainly we might be willing in having that humble spirit, and that's good. But oftentimes the Lord really is working a lot of things out in our lives, and he's making us useful, and he can turn things around to our usefulness and turn things around to our joy in a miraculous way, in a wonderful way. And we can bear testimony to that in many, many ways. And then verse number 11, still thinking about battling sin, verse 11 says that little that's worthwhile comes without some kind of grief. There's very little things that are worthwhile in our lives. The Lord is working things out by taking us through trials and tests. And what's he doing? Well, he's chipping away. He's chipping away at all the bad stuff that we might be that gemstone that he would have us to be. And you're not going to see the gemstone until all the rock on the outside is chipped away. And he is working on our lives in that way. Verse number 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous." No, it's grievous. It hurts. Every time he hits us with the chisel, every time he hits us, hammer and chisel come down upon us, it doesn't feel good. But it's his affliction being brought at his providence for our good. And it's going to bring about better things. It's nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable, righteousness is not stressful. Righteousness is not, when the Lord's working righteousness within us, it does not make us unhappy. It is not grievous. It does not make us stressed out. When he's working his righteousness within us, it is peaceable. You want peace in your life? Hey, it's the path of righteousness that brings peace. And so he is saying that peaceable fruit, it yieldeth that peace, the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And so little is worthwhile that doesn't come with some kind of difficulty, some kind of trial. God's got a plan in the future for us if we're going through trials as the Lord's people. He's got something planned for us in the future, and it's good for us, and we will be better equipped to be useful in his hand or to be just simply filled with the joy of the Lord in our lives. And so we look at this, we say fighting sin is like fighting grief. It's like fighting sorrow. It's like fighting darkness. It's like fighting, it's a fight that's worthwhile in that we're fighting for joy. We're fighting for usefulness. We're fighting for real love and peace in our lives as the Lord's people. And so keep fighting against sin. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Turn with me there, and we'll look at this one verse, and then we'll close today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 29. 1 Corinthians 1, And verse number 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. And he says, but of him, and he says, hey, he's worked everything so that that would be the case, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus. Okay, why am I in Christ Jesus? Well, praise God for that. He's the one that did it. Who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. The Lord's working. Christ Jesus is becoming our righteousness, wisdom, sanctification, redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Our dependence on God for every success in our lives, that we depend on him for the peace, that we depend on him for the joy that we need, that we depend on him for deliverance from the grief, the hardship, the difficulty, the trials that we're under. That we'll lean upon him and be praying that his will be done, that praying that for his deliverance, for his grace in our life, fight against sin. Be patient through the trials. He's got a reason for them. And so, but it is part of fighting against sin. Afflictions are working righteousness within us, whether they be the afflictions that are the trials or whether they be the afflictions that are the chastisement of the Lord. Either case is working righteousness within us. Let's be patient. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time.